this sermon is simple. This sermon is something that I think is absolutely vital. I think this is something that will challenge us this morning. I don't want you to listen to this sermon. I want you to take hold of this sermon, and I want you to pay attention this morning. As I read from the Word of God, we're going to believe God in this place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. And actually, I'm going to stall for some time because I even want those men in ministry that are counting the money to hear this scripture, because I really believe that this is what it all boils down to. You know, sometimes people can talk, but they don't walk the walk. I heard a story. I happened to be having a fellowship for Pastor Lopez before he goes. I happened to show up, and there were a lot of pastors there. A few other people from the church were there, but a bunch of old timers. Not many of the young people made it. If they did, they just went off into a corner hanging out by themselves. It was mostly us guys there, and I was the youngest guy in the crew, meaning I was the one with the least experience. Maybe there were a couple other young disciples there, but I know that as I looked around, it was a lot of old time pastors and a lot of old timers there. And one of the elders in the mother church, he began to relay a story because they started talking about old times. He had hired Pastor Lopez as a truck driver. And it was Pastor Lopez's introduction to the trucking business. And he was a truck driver, and he drove paper, picked up paper. And they were going over the times, and finally the fellow and elder in the church, Tony, said, "Yeah, I hired a lot of the guys from the church," and as they were going through the names, they began to talk about different guys that he had hired, and their families and how they were. And he got to one guy, and you know, Tony doesn't pull any punches, to be honest with you, a lot of the time. He would come across kind of rough every once in a while. He would admit that even himself. But this one time, he talked about this guy in the church, and one time his boss, the owner of the place, came up to him and said, "Hey, you got to do something about that guy." And he said, "What? He's not doing his job. What's going on?" "No." He goes, "That guy is testifying to everybody." And Tony, you know, he was kind of thinking maybe he was going to smile, you know. Yeah. And he goes, "But that's not the problem. The problem isn't that he's testifying to everybody. The problem is he's saying one thing, but he's not doing it. He's saying one thing, but he's not doing it." And so Tony, you know, in an instant was like, "Yeah, that's pretty much how this guy is." You know, made his assessment, you know. And he walked up to the guy, the other brother in the church. He said, "Hey, do me a favor. Don't tell anybody about Jesus. Don't testify to anybody." And the guy's like, "What? What?" And he said, "Yeah, don't testify to anybody, because you're not doing what you're saying. You got to live it if you're going to testify about it." And I know that that might sound harsh, you know, but I can tell you that the old pastors in the room, they were much more, to have someone undermine, you know, a ministry or a testimony because of somebody else. So what happened to all the time in the church? And so today, as I begin to preach on supernatural dimension in discipleship and in people's lives, I want you to remember those words. Because the Bible is crystal clear here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. We'll look at it together, and we'll begin to trust what God has to say. The Bible says, "Our gospel did not come in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." Another version says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." And it goes on to say, "As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." See, I'm not going to preach a sermon to prove if you are saved or not today. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to not say that your life proves God, because it doesn't. What I'm going to tell you is that if your life lacks anything but words, you know, if your life is lacking except for a bunch of words, then you have an issue. That's what I'm going to tell you. You have something that you need to work on. Because the church world is full of people who are not supernatural. And the Bible says that our gospel is supernatural. That's what it says. You should be living super lives. I got a great kick out of my kids' rankings of superheroes. I asked them the rankings of the superheroes. I said, "Who's the greatest superhero of all time?" My daughter, you know, she must have wanted something. She broke everybody's heart at the table. She said, "Daddy." You know, she even paused and thought about it for a while and then said, "Daddy is the greatest superhero." But they also have another superhero. They barely know him. They just hear me talking to him on the phone or building sermons with him. You know? Sometimes I put him on speakerphone and I tell them I'm talking to Pastor Lopez or Pastor Philippi. And I'm writing and typing while I'm talking to him in the office, and I let them come in the office. It drives my wife crazy because there's all these toys all over the house later when she wakes up from her nap or when she comes back from work. She's been doing chores when I happen to be at the house doing this. Nonetheless, you know, they come with their superhero characters, their Lego characters that they have, and they come and they go, "I'm Pastor Lopez," right? And they are Pastor Lopez. Sometimes they're Batman, sometimes they're Superman, but a lot of times they're Pastor Lopez, you know? And I don't know, they even got the accent. My son has a way that he says it, you know, even that's Pastor Lopez-ish, you know, and Pastor Lopez, right? And they got it going on. They got it figured out, right? And they're not wrong. You know, if my kids were wrong, I would correct them. But I know that the greatest superheroes in the room are the men of God who have shown supernatural ability through the blood of Jesus Christ and their knowledge of the gospel. That they can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. That words and images, they are together. You know, that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are things that they travel in. You know, some of you this morning, maybe it's because of humility. Maybe it's because you just think you're some person that's filling a seat. Maybe it's because you're young and you're just stupid. You haven't caught on. people don't know, you know, miracle babies. Most people don't have parents that came off of street corners and now don't do drugs and are completely clean. And most people, I can tell you this for sure, they don't know anything about the Spirit of God. You know, Matthew 12:28 says it this way: "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." What is that? How does that challenge you this morning? You know, you guys should know by now how I preach. I preach a challenge. Then I teach you, hopefully, why you are able to meet that challenge. And then I give you the hope that tomorrow is a new day and you can go out there and you can live that challenge. That's my three-point preaching style. You know, it's all I know because it was what was done in my life. I didn't come in here with a bunch of supernatural stories about how God had done a bunch of supernatural things in my life. I came in here empty and broken, bitter at times, angry, hurting, dejected, lost, and then the kingdom of God came into my life. You know, some of you guys, you might wonder why I say go to revival. Hey, listen. Because, you know, if you can't get it here, you got to learn to go somewhere to get it. You know, maybe some of you need to go to the prayer room and get it. Because ministry is, I've said this before, it's all about things we cannot do. We can't do it. You know, we can't make people surrender. We can't make those things happen. The Bible says very clearly, the yoke. And so you're not confused. It's not talking about eggs. Okay? All right. A yoke is what they put on a bull. They put it on a bull to steer it. And the Bible says the yoke of bondage. That means the sin, you know, sin, what it does in your life is it goes over your head and over your neck and it begins to steer your life. I do an altar call every service because I know what sin can do to people's lives. It can destroy their lives. You know, can you be honest? Are you forthright? You know, can you have someone just come over to your home anytime, any hour, any minute? Because you are a semblance of God. I'm not trying to say that you have to be God. It's not like they have to walk in and like, ooh, and then the sun comes down and oh my goodness. That's not what has to happen. But you have to have a semblance of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And it can't just be words. It can't. You know, I got the greatest compliment. I had a brother, a pastor, come over to my house. And he had to sleep in. You know, I don't have a lot of room in my house. I have some room. But, you know, I find a way of cluttering up my house as much as possible. You know? And he had a lot of stuff. And he's going like this around stage, you know? But he went to bed late at night, woke up in the morning. And he said to me, "Boy, I haven't had a sleep like that in a while, Pastor." I said, "Praise Jesus." You know? That's a semblance of God. That's what you should be having in your home. The Bible says the yoke will be destroyed by what? Because of the anointing that is on your life. The supernatural. Jesus had this. That's what Jesus was. He healed people. He delivered people. He provided for people. He protected people. Where's that youngster? Is he people's lives. It comes from God's Spirit, and we are our brother's keepers. We are our sister's keepers. I go to men's discipleships. I go to outreach to be involved so that I become a man of God that can help my mother church, that can help Pastor Mitchell and his ministry, that can be a blessing. You know, men go out all the time and do things and they get their butts kicked. And it's because they don't realize it's not just words, it's not just a program. It's supernatural things that have to occur, that you have to be committed to. Jesus imparted this into his disciples throughout the Bible. You hear it time and time again. There's often times where you're like, well, why do you have that do that? I talked about it last week, right? You know, it's one of my favorite examples. I never thought about it until about a month ago. But Jesus raises someone from the dead, and then he says, yeah, get the rest of the dead off him. What was he doing? He was giving them something physical to do that was involved in the supernatural. You know? I don't know, maybe the guy was like, hey, am I still dead? What's going on? You know? And they had to be like, no, man, you're not dead no more. You just stink like you've been there. Jesus involved in his disciples in supernatural work. You know, sometimes some of you have experienced that, right? You've been at events, you've been at things, you know, but you're not going. You're still a spectator. You know? Now, granted, listen, we all deal with that reality. You know, I don't know how Pastor Mitchell preaches a message. And you know, sometimes I can barely hear him, right? I remember when they had a new sound guy, Pastor Mitchell was preaching, it was like, you know, half the sermon was in mute, you know? And then we get to the end of the sermon, you know, he's like, I mean, he's getting really old, right? And we get to the end of the sermon, and you know, all of a sudden, the anointing of God just falls like a ton of bricks. But I contend to you, and I tell you, it's not, you know, we deal with that. I can't, that's not what's happening every time I preach. I mean, the falling of a ton of bricks is happening, but not the anointing always. But I will tell you, I think it's not just Pastor Mitchell, it's all of those men that are committed there. You know? It's all those men that are committed there to that. It's all the men behind the scenes that are laying, you know, their labors are they're contending for the supernatural. And he's just the fixed point. But it comes from a man who has shown us the way. I can tell you right now, I've seen Pastor Mitchell in the prayer room. I've seen him being kind. I've seen him being gracious. I've seen him giving his time up his time and his effort. You know, I've seen it. And Jesus, this is what he's trying to do. And if you're this morning, you were hoping, you know, for something different, I do want to tell you that I hope God gives you that too. But I want to give you the supernatural challenge that God has in store for your life. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You know, I was talking to a brother recently, and, you know, they want to have, you know, there's a lot of young brothers in different churches, and they want to have a supernatural ministry. You know, but they get caught up in things. They get caught up in the wrong things sometimes. You know? Sometimes, you know, to have a supernatural element in your life, you have to have a sensitivity. You know, to God's voice. God has a voice. He has a voice, and he can speak. Because he knows what we don't know. He knows when something is wrong. You know, there are, he knows sometimes when things that are unseen are stopping his work. Sometimes there's times where you have to realize, you know, God is, you know, God's work begins to get halted or stopped, and you need to get down on your knees and begin to contend, not get distracted. And this happens time and time in the Bible. There's a time in the Bible where Paul, you know, he was grieving because the Holy Spirit had been stopped. See, there's times where sorcery was involved to halt Paul's mission. And you have to be in touch with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You know, I'll be honest with you. I get upset when I go through a day and I don't really feel in touch with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about, you know, the lovey-dovey, all that feelings type. You know, I'm not talking about, like, you know, the wind, you know, Karen Carpenter, all that stuff. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about feeling in touch, like in tune. You know, like praying. I've had times where I've prayed and God keeps on putting this image in my head, and I'm rejecting this image in my head. It's not literally an image necessarily, because that would work that way. But what I mean is he's putting ideas and thoughts into my mind, and I'm rejecting them. I'm rejecting them. But I can feel God's presence, and I can feel that God is doing that. But I still don't know, you know. But I go to the event, and I contend in that room, and I listen to the man of God. I listen to him. I'm waiting for him to tell me something. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he speaks the words that I need to hear. And some of you guys, that's what you're missing. That's exactly what you're missing. And you're blaming it on everyone. But I found that, you know, it's not about the people. I've seen people fall, but they gave me words. I've seen people fail. I've seen pastors fail. I've seen leaders fail. I had a good friend that was a leader. I mean, a big-time leader. I thought of him as a good friend. He probably didn't even care about me, but I thought of him as somebody who I thought as someone I looked up to. And I saw him fail, but you know what? He brought me the ladder ring. God was always trying to help him. God's always trying to help you. This other nonsense that you have in your mind is nonsense. Or that the pastor, you know, like you're relying on a pastor, you're relying on some other church, you're relying on the mother church. That's nonsense. Yes, your mother church will help you. Yes, your pastor will help you. But the supernatural is what you need to get a hold of. You need to contend for that. You need to want it. And it comes from being in touch. It comes from knowing what to say. Do you know supernatural words? You know, do you know them? Listen, man, I used to listen to sermons just like you. And the guys would say, the yoke that breaks the anointing, I had no idea what they were talking about. accents I had to listen to, you know, over the years. It took me a while just to figure out what they were saying. But the truth is, you know, I had to learn those words. Anointing, guys, is divine effectiveness. That's what anointing is. It's divine effectiveness. I'll give you an example. You ever watch one of those movies where there's like something supernatural going on, but the character doesn't know that something supernatural is going on, and they always have like a stupid scene where he's playing baseball or something? Brandon, you know what I'm talking about? The guy's sitting there, angels in the outfield type deal, right? And the guy's up there, and this is anointing. He goes like this. He's a horrible hitter. He can't swing. He's going to miss every single time. It's a breaking ball. He swings like it's a fastball, right? He goes like this. He misses the ball, right? But the supernatural anointing brings it back around, and he hits it into the park. And they go, wow, I never saw nothing like that before. Right? The guy runs for the ball. He falls on the ground, right? Right? But all of a sudden, he gets dragged over here and he catches the ball. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Praise Jesus. But that's what you need every morning. That's what you need every night. What do you think? You're relying on your own abilities again, huh? That's what you need. That's how God sees you. I was heartbroken. I said to my kids the other day, you want to watch Goofy? No. He's number 3 on my superhero list. But that's how God sees us. We're lovable Goofy. We're just a lovable little Goofy that, you know? You know, Goofy's always trying to do the right thing, guys. He's got a good heart. That's what makes Goofy likable. He's got a good heart. Kids don't like Goofy that much anymore because they're jaded. They don't want to be Mickey Mouse. I don't know. The truth is, you know, you have to know these things. You have to know about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are things that manifest in our lives. They're supernatural. It's a grace that's for specific situations. You know, the word of knowledge, for instance. The word of knowledge is biblical. People get healed by words of knowledge. Crucial. I've shared in my life time and time again where words of knowledge, they came to me. I've shared with you, you know, God was trying to do something supernatural in my wife and in my marriage and with my, you know, my wife being able to have children. But I was afraid. I was afraid, and God spoke to me at a church service, and I was afraid to share it with my wife. He spoke to me, he told me something, and I was afraid to tell her. And the man of God, he came the next night, and he had a supernatural word of knowledge. He called us up to the pulpit, and he prayed for us, and he had a word of knowledge that gave me the strength to begin to talk to my wife about, you know, we're going to have a son. We're going to have a son. And that's why Wesley's middle name is John. The word of knowledge. It would have been his first name, but my wife hated the name John, so we made it a family name. Wesley John was in my family history, so she didn't trust the name John. But you know, I've seen that time and time again. It's you know, because my final point this morning, very quickly, is that the supernatural is a grant from God. I was going to use a fancy word, appropriation, right? But what it is it's a grant. It's like when you go to school, and then the school says, we're going to give you $4,000 to go to school. It's a grant. It's given to you. And that's what the supernatural is. You know? The faith is something that gives you the ability to believe in that grant. You have to believe God for the supernatural. Faith is what personalizes it and says, you know what? What happened to Peter can happen to me. What happened to Paul? It can happen to me. This is what I need. I'm reading in the Bible. Oh, okay. That's who I am. Right? You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I wasn't a Peter guy. I wasn't a David guy. My son likes David. I wasn't a David guy. You know? I wasn't a Paul guy like Professor Brandon back there. I wasn't a Paul guy. Nope. Never really impressed by him, to be honest with you. Thought he had it all, you know, coming. You know what I'm saying? Being honest, I was a Thomas guy. Nobody knows what Thomas did. You know what I mean? I think somebody in India, you know, Indians, in India, he went over to India, you know? And he started some churches there, is the story. Ask Pastor Sam about it, he knows a lot about it. And I'm kidding, I know a little bit more than I'm telling, because I looked into Thomas. But that's who I was. That's how I worked. I was a doubting Thomas. And so you know what happened to me? One day I had to look at the Bible, I had to look at Thomas's life, and I had to say, that's me. And that's for me. And I began to tell God, I need to feel your wounds. I need to get my hand in your gut. No matter how disgusting that is, God, because I want you to be real. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to just do this without the supernatural ability, because I began to get terrified of what the consequences of that would be. Because it's terrifying to not have the supernatural backing, or to feel like you don't, and to just go through the motions, and you won't make it. You won't make it. You have to read and study your Bible, and you have to apply those promises and those stories to your life. And I can tell you right now, I have wept over the blood of Jesus Christ. I can weep right now. Because there's people dying every day. They're dying. They're not in church. They know about Jesus. They will continue to die until someone goes out there with supernatural ability and fights for what God cares about. Fights for God. You have to fight for the supernatural. You have to ask God for the supernatural. And I'll be honest with you, the love of Jesus makes up for a lot of things, and we need that. Amen. We need that. As a church, we need that. We don't have all the things. That's why, you know, guys, one of the reasons I love going to Mexico as I close is because they don't have all the things. And I love going there and watching God make up for that. I love that. You know, when I go there, I got a phone, you know, and I'm like, he's like, yeah, I got Bluetooth, and then I look, and he's got Bluetooth from like 1945, you know, it doesn't work with my phone. And I'm like, and we have to make up for the difference, you know what I mean? You know, and he does, you know, he gives his pastor, you know, who I can't even communicate with, and his son, who I can't even communicate with, he gives us Isaac. You know? But that son, you know, that son's like, okay, well, this is what you do. Do this. Email it to here, and then we'll do it to this, and then I'll do it, and then I'll play it. You know? And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So I just stand there, right? Yeah, you just stand there. Okay. But we're preaching the gospel on the street corner. We're rapping for Jesus on the street corner, and we're lacking, but we have God making up the difference. People are getting saved. People are getting words of knowledge. How How can I give a kid from Mexico a word of knowledge? How can I touch a kid from Mexico's heart? But I had teenagers. They were coming up to me, you know? And they can't talk to me, so there's like one that can understand what I'm talking about. There's just one of them. But God has given me eyes to interpret. And God has given me things to have supernatural ability. See, we must ask God, though, for that. It does take those hard times to get us real. And then we must obey. We must obey. We must pray for people who are sick. We must pray for the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long it takes you. You need to not stop praying. I'm not going to let it go. The Holy Ghost must be in this home. It must be in this house. And we must try to witness time and time again. It doesn't matter. I know they're going to look at you. I know they're going to think of, you know, the biggest kick I get is that people see me and they don't even have any idea who I am. You know, they see me. I mean, I love when I witness somebody and they go, "Thank you, Pastor." And I just laugh. Because I'm West from the Trail Park. That's who I am. I'm West from the Trail Park. That's all I have. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The promise of the Father this morning is that He will help you, He will forgive you, and He will touch your heart this morning. He will help you. The promise of Jesus Christ is He will do that swiftly.